America.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions and details in store.
Good afternoon. 4 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock. Gym class coming your way on two of our three signals this afternoon here in KGYM. Coming your way on 1600 AM and the North Gym 107.5 FM. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes with you here today. Have another Dr. Pepper prize pack we'll be giving away. We will do that coming up here in just a little bit. We're going to talk with Rob Gray as well from CycloneFanatic.com. We'll talk Iowa State football, some Iowa State basketball as well, and just talk about the Big 12 in general. Of course, earlier this week, all the hubbub came down of possible expansion in the Big 12 conference, and that was swept away, at least for the moment. But speculation began, where will the Big 12 be maybe in a decade from now? Will there be a Big 12? We will talk about that and other stories with Rob Gray coming up, and we will take a look, talk a little bit about high school football as well, as it is week 9 of the high school football season. And playoff spots, a lot of them on the line. A lot of them already been taken care of. It's probably about 50-50 thereabouts. And some very, very key games. We got two of them coming your way tonight here on KGYM. John Hagerty and I and Dennis Canock will be out at Kingston Stadium. It'll be Kennedy hosting Prairie. Prairie is in. Kennedy needs a win and a big win tonight to get in and knock out Iowa City West. And also tonight, it'll be Alex Kuhn, Gary Fickell, Todd Werner down at the Little Rose Bowl, Oliphant Street Stadium in West Branch, as it'll be the West Branch Bears taking on Clayton Ridge. That'll be on 106.3 FM. Winner is in. Team that loses that game, an outside shot at getting one of the two statewide wild cards that are available in classes 3A, 2A, 1A, and A. No wild cards available, Mark, in class 4A and 8 player. Unlike our card game on Wednesday nights.
Drew, excuse me. I was trying to figure out why Twitter isn't working.
Yeah, Twitter's down. It's been down all day, and we're handcuffed here at the Big 16.
Yeah. Source of breaking news these days, but a source of a lot of nonsense too. So
a lot of nonsense out there. But yeah, you're right. It's an evil of society of today, but it's also a great benefit to society. Mm-hmm. But it is down right now, and it's not only our little area, it's pretty much nationwide. So if you're trying to get on Twitter today, that seems to be not your option. So get some work done, America.
Is it a conspiracy? Which party is responsible for this?
I don't want to even go there. I don't want to even broach the subject of what has brought Twitter down today. But it is down today. So we're going to be here to do entertain you. How about that for the next hour or so?
First Twitterless show in history, I think.
Could be. Could be the first Twitterless show in history. APC will be coming up next. They will be live at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. And that will be from 4 o'clock until 7 o'clock tonight. Stop on by. They got some great prizes down there, great food as well. Say hi to Todd and Tyler. 749 Mormon Truck Boulevard in the Walden Square. We have the Dr. Pepper prize pack to be given away coming up, our final one of the week. Thanks to Steve, everybody at Dr. Pepper for helping us out. Do appreciate it. 12-pack of regular Dr. Pepper, 12-pack of Diet Dr. Pepper. That wouldn't last too long at the Unash house. Plus KGYM t-shirt, pint glass, and some Dr. Pepper t-shirt and swag as well. So we'll give that away coming up here in just a little bit. We'll also talk Iowa, Wisconsin. We gave our picks yesterday. Well, do we think Wisconsin's going to cover? And I think the entire panel said Wisconsin is going to cover that game. So that's a good place to start right there and probably to end later on today. Have you changed your mind at all since yesterday's show?
No, I really haven't. And I'd like to see a good competitive football game, and this one usually is. In the last 10 years, it's 5-5 and almost 90 years of playing football, these two teams are almost dead even. And you would think last year was 10-6. You would think it would be more of the same. Just what I've seen out of Wisconsin, though, I think the Badgers have a better football team. Now, having said that, teams make improvement. And I think Iowa played a very, very good football game last week at Purdue, a hapless Purdue program that fired its football coach not long after that game.
But I think we'll come within 24 of Nebraska.
So I think Iowa will throw everything at Wisconsin it possibly can. But this is just going to be another very physical football game, perhaps decided by a turnover or two. And so we'll see. We'll be down at the Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Tyler Ryder and I, we'll be down there watching the game. And then immediately following, it'll be the post-game show with Tyler and myself, Todd Brommelkamp from Kinnick Stadium, and you. Your texts and phone calls weighing in on what should be a pretty good football game.
Should be a good one. 11 o'clock ESPN. We'll have the coverage on that one. And by the way, the Big Ten tailgate will be here as well at the Krause Family Plaza tomorrow. And the guy's going to talk to Jerry DiNardo coming up during the APC as well. So it'll be interesting to get his thoughts about that. And, of course, it was announced Vince Beagle is going, it looks like, will play now. There was some contention if he was going to be able to come back in time. Well, now there are various reports that say he will be out there. We'll see if he walks out there at Kinnick Stadium. I have a feeling he is going to be out there, though, and that just adds another dimension to the Wisconsin defense that was already very, very good, and they're going to be even better with Beagle out there.
Wisconsin has a terrific stable of linebackers. They play the true 3-4 defense, and obviously, with four linebackers, you need probably six or eight in terms of depth there. And they just, again, they have a terrific quartet of starters if you throw Beagle in there, back in there from his injury. Cishe is a guy you're going to hear his name quite a bit tomorrow. And it's going to be a big challenge for Iowa, especially if Boone Myers and or Cole Croston either are not in the lineup or are slowed. Again, Iowa's played five different starting lineups at offensive line. Tomorrow could be the sixth.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Let us know what you think. We would ask you please to let us know via today anyway, the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. That because we're down Alex, of course. He's down at West Branch with the tailgate tour going on today. And also, Jeff Downing is in the other room making sure that Alex is sounding good from West Branch.
It's a busy day here.
It is always a busy day. Fridays seem to be just that much busier, if that makes any sense out there. But, yes, if you could, please today let us know via the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line at 319-366-1600. Your thoughts about Iowa, Wisconsin, what do you think out there? What do you think is going to come away with the victory? Is it a game that Iowa must have tomorrow? Is it a game that Wisconsin must have? I think that one's pretty easy. Wisconsin can't afford another loss. They already have two in the Big Ten Conference so far. So they can't afford three because that will not win you a title and a trip to Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's an elimination game in my mind because, as you outlined, Wisconsin, we have three division losses. And should Iowa lose, that makes two. You would think Nebraska will stay unbeaten tomorrow and probably emerge in that scenario as the odds-on favorite. Don't sleep on Northwestern. Northwestern's still in it. It has a game against Indiana tomorrow. And the Wildcats only have one loss and in the division, and a tiebreak against Iowa, of course, with that victory at Kinnick Stadium. KGYMRadio.com, a place for a lot of information, including our poll question today. Will the Heartland Trophy still be in Iowa City tomorrow night? Simple yes or no question. We'll give you some results later on. Thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, behind Taco John's.
Early voting, but right now, it's almost 75% say no, it's not going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
That say the Wisconsin Badgers are going to win the Heartland Trophy and win the game. You mentioned Iowa, big game tomorrow for the Hawkeyes, because if Iowa loses, be the second loss in the Big Ten Conference, Iowa will be, in essence, a half game behind Wisconsin. They will be a game and a half, in essence, behind Northwestern. And, yeah, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough to come back and climb out of that hole. So we'll see how things play out. Again, if you want to comment, 319-366-1600.
My only trepidation in picking Wisconsin is the fact that it is near the tail end of just a brutal schedule. A schedule in which the Badgers have performed really, really well. It started, of course, in the season opener against LSU, took a bit of a break, and facing Akron and Georgia State, then it was at Michigan State, a 30-6 win, which at the time you thought was pretty eyebrow-raising. But we know what's happened to Michigan State since then. Still, a 30-6 road victory at a school like Michigan State is impressive. Then you only lose 14-7 to Michigan, and that overtime loss to Ohio State at home last week. Just a terrific game. And now at Iowa and Nebraska at home next week. That's a heck of a schedule.
It's a very top-heavy, front-loaded schedule. Except maybe those two non-conference games early in the season right there.
Kenneth on the text line, which is 319-366-1600. That's our Jerry Ask Investment Services text line. I think it'll be close, and special teams will play a big role. Duncan will be especially important. Also, go Co.
Oh, yes. Co at Luther tomorrow, by the way.
Indeed.
Try to keep their undefeated season going. Iowa State off tomorrow, by the way. Why we haven't talked a lot, and you and I will be at home in a must-win game against Missouri State. I will have a full report on Monday. I will be at the Uni Dome tomorrow.
Nice.
So, Son Ryan and I and others will be heading up. So that'll be good. We'll give you a report.
How's the tailgating scene in Cedar Falls?
Pretty good. It's not. I will not know tomorrow because it's going to be a get in the car after the Saturday morning show. Because Mark Dukes, there is a 1 o'clock start.
That's unusual.
In Cedar Falls tomorrow. Batten down the hatches.
No TV, of course.
Not that I'm aware of. There might be local and ESPN3, but that's always there for the schools of that ilk. And 1 o'clock.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. 16 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock. We're going to get to Rob Gray coming up here in a moment. Other story, of course, besides Iowa, we got high school football. We'll kick that around at the end, no pun intended. Cubs take a 3-2 last night, a lead in the National League Championship Series with an 8-4 win over the Los Angeles Dodgers. And I said yesterday at the end of the show, I thought the Dodgers threw the wrong guy. I'm sticking with it. I know hindsight is 20/20, but I thought Dave Roberts made a gargantuan mistake yesterday.
I don't know. You know, you roll the dice and try to go up in the series with not your best, and then you've got your best in trying to clinch a trip to the World Series. That was the best case scenario. For the L.A. Dodgers, it didn't turn out that way. Cubs played very well, pitched very well. Listen, there's only one guy on the Dodgers staff
that
can beat Lester, and that's Clayton Kershaw.
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about Joe Blanton.
No.
Joe Blanton's been the MVP of the series for the Chicago Cubs.
Even if Kershaw does win that game, I mean, you still got your work cut out for you winning two at Wrigley Field. Without Kershaw available, at least in a long-term stint.
True.
I mean, that's Dave Roberts has done a pretty good job with that ball club this year, and I don't know. We'll see how it pans out.
Maeda was not going to beat John Lester last night. Just wasn't going to. Lester's been the best pitcher for the Cubs all year, with all due respect to Kyle Hendricks. And now the Dodgers put themselves in a position where you're going to have to beat Kyle Hendricks, who, if he lost a game at Wrigley Field this year, it wasn't too many. And then if it comes down to Sunday, that's going to be very interesting with Rich Hill, who's already shut out the Cubs, against Jake Arrieta, who's not been real steady the last 2 months or so. He's been kind of up, he's been kind of down, and he had a bad outing in the National League Championship Series.
Yeah, it gets to Game 7. It's going to be very interesting because all the pressure will be on the Cubs, will it not?
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
All the pressure in the world will be on the Cubs if it goes to a Game 7. But we'll see if Kershaw can get him to a Game 7 coming up tomorrow. Then, okay, I'll ask you this question. Dodgers did not throw Kenley Jansen last night, so he's going to have quite a bit of rest, which he needed.
Mm-hmm.
Another scenario where 8th inning... Sunday night, if there is a Game 7, you see old number 22 running out to running down the line to the bullpen
for
the Dodgers?
I wouldn't be surprised in the least.
Could happen again. Could happen again. They can get another couple outs from him if they did before. Might not be the best, most effective way to use him, but yeah, I don't know. Depends on your thinking. I still think they should have threw Kershaw last night, but hindsight's 20/20.
Well, it sure is. I mean, but now you've got a game six on Saturday night, and let's not forget Kyle Hendricks pitched a heck of a game against Kershaw as well.
Yeah.
I mean, just a wonderful game.
And he has been just absolutely fantastic this year and has not lost, as I mentioned, too many times at Wrigley Field, mm-hmm. if at all, this year. He has been absolutely outstanding. We're going to have the game coming up tomorrow. What our schedule tomorrow, and you can check it out at kgymradio.com. We have Before the Boom at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning. That'll be on 106.3 and 107.5 FM. Coach's Corner tomorrow morning at 1600 AM at 9 o'clock. We're going to talk a little volleyball, and we'll talk football. John Hegarty is going to join me here in studio coming up tomorrow morning. And then we've got UNI football at 12 noon on 1600 AM as the Panthers host Missouri State. We've got the postgame show with you guys down at Coach's Corner at about 2 or whenever the game gets done. Last week it was 3 because it was a 4-hour game. By the way, a 4.5-hour, 8-4 baseball game last night. You got to be kidding me. They wonder why no one wants to watch. That's a whole different subject. Anyway, back on the horse. 6 o'clock tomorrow night. We'll start it off on all three frequencies with the Cubs pregame against the Dodgers. 6:30, 107.5, 106.3 FM will break away for Big Ten football. Ohio State and Penn State coming up tomorrow night. And 1600 AM will have the Cubs taking on the Dodgers in Game 6.
Back to the text line, 4702 has the game. Iowa 16, Wisconsin 13.
With the kick.
Last second field. 31 years ago yesterday.
Oh, yeah, I was.
We were both at Kinnick Stadium when Iowa defeated Michigan on Hotland's kick.
Yeah.
31 years ago today, or yesterday, I'm sorry.
Well, thanks, Mark. Appreciate that. 321.
I was 3 at the time.
I was not. Oh, may have acted about 3, but no. 321. We'll take a break. Come back. Rob Gray is going to join us. We're going to talk a little Cyclones with you on a Friday. So stay tuned. More to come. Friday edition of the Gym Class. Scott Unesh, Mark Dukes here on KGYM. Back with more after this.
Used car selection and savings. That's what keeps them coming to the all-new Coralville Used Car Superstore. Manager Josh Orthel, tell them.
During our big re-grand opening sale event, we're seeing used car buyers as far away as Davenport, Dubuque, and Des Moines. And now through Saturday night, we've got what everyone wants.
Not hundreds of vehicles. Thousands.
Over 2,000 pre-owned vehicles, every make and model, luxury cars, budget buys, family vehicles.
And shoppers always find the right price.
Payments from $99 a month, budget buys under $5,000, and financing as low as 1.9%. That's unheard of for used car buyers, but it's yours through Saturday night.
One place, the Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets.
Totally renovated showroom. We've added an extra acre of inventory, and don't let bad credit keep you from coming to the Coralville Used Car Superstore. Nobody works harder to get you approved. The re-grand opening. Worth the drive from anywhere.
Now through Saturday night, the all-new Coralville Used Car Superstore across from Randy's Carpets. Log on, McGrathAuto.com. Click specials.
Don't miss the action of your Cedar Rapids Rough Riders.
Tonight, the Chicago Steel invade the stable for Pink in the Rink, presented by Unity Point Health. The first 2,000 fans get a free pink cowbell, plus beverages, popcorn, and hot dogs are just $2. Wear pink to support breast cancer awareness and come cheer your riders on to victory. Happy hour begins at 5:30. Puck drops at 7:05.
The party!
Details on the hottest game at the coolest place. Visit RiderTownUSA.com.
Get your tickets today.
Be there.
Two hosts born and raised in Eastern Iowa, talking Eastern Iowa sports. Scott Unesh and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back at 3:23 on the Friday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. Usually on Saturdays, we'd have an Iowa State football game, but the Cyclones are enjoying an off week this week, bye week, before they get into it coming up next Saturday against the K-State Wildcats. We're going to talk about that, a little basketball, a little Big 12, and we'll do that with Rob Gray from CycloneFanatic.com here at 3:23. And you got your Saturday all planned out, or you got a long honey-do list, or what do you got going tomorrow, Rob?
Well, it's interesting, guys, and thanks for having me on again. As serendipity would decide, I guess in this case, we've got a family cabin meeting. I'm part of a family in which there's a cabin up in Minnesota in the Brainerd Lakes area, and the cabin meeting is on Saturday. So if there were a game, I wouldn't be able to attend. But there's a nice dinner. You see some relatives on my wife's side that, you know, kind of far flung. They get together every year, so I get to attend a cabin meeting on what's going to be a gorgeous day. It looks like throughout the state.
Yeah, there may be, you know, during your meeting, minutes being read, and then, you know, beverages provided and things like that, correct?
Indeed. and barbecue and all kinds of great stuff. I'm anticipating the latter parts will be the highlights for sure.
Sounds like a winner to me, Rob. Hey, seven games into this football season, what's your overall impression of Iowa State?
Well, my overall impression is what everyone's is, and they are getting better. Now, the overall impression that goes with that is they still don't know how to seal the deal. And I asked Coach Campbell a couple times back, and no coach is going to flat out say this, but how much is depth an explainer for second half issues, fourth quarter issues? You know, you've got some pretty good frontline players now and some good standout guys, but when you give them that second string and God forbid, the fully into the three deep, your guys are a little bit more worn down than some of those teams they're playing, you know, a Baylor, obviously, and Oklahoma State. Those rosters are stacked, and I'd argue that a lot of their walk-ons are probably three-star type guys, so even as you go deeper than the three deep. So I think that's a big issue. I mean, I think most fans, once they got over the initial honeymoon period, was like, hey, you know, Paul Rhodes said going out, this should be a bowl team. You know, they got to win close games for that to happen, and they haven't done that for a couple of years, and so you can see a better product on the field, but unfortunately you see the same old type of record in the standings as you have the past three seasons.
With that in mind, though, what's the patience level? I mean, it's still the honeymoon period for Matt Campbell, no doubt about that. But, you know, so close against Baylor, so close against Oklahoma State. It's almost a catch-22 situation because he gave the fan base a little look, just a peek, and then the rug was pulled out from underneath him.
Yeah, and I think this year for most fans it's kind of a grace period. I mean, you change eras, you change a lot of things. There were some guys that were on the three deep, even maybe as high as number two, and seeing significant snaps in games under Rhodes that are not seeing the field or no longer part of the program under Campbell. That's part of the change of the culture. That's part of the change of the way they're going about and doing things. You know, they want their players to fit the way they want to run plays. And, you know, that's a work in progress. So I think, I think there's a bit of a grace period this season. But I think the expectation is and should be the next season's team with another good recruiting class coming in, some good contributions from true freshmen this season like Deshante Jones, Jaquan Bailey, a lot of guys, Montgomery, a lot of guys that they're building towards something, and where next year should be back to that, hey, we're going to contend to be in the postseason conversation again.
Rob, four out of the last five games are at home, and the long road game is at Kansas. So how many can the Cyclones get down the stretch?
Well, I think they can get quite a few, just as they could have held on and beaten Baylor and Oklahoma State and not laid an egg in the second half of Texas where they went into a half with a halftime lead there that really needed to be bigger for them to have pulled that one off down in Austin. But I think Kansas should be a win. Kansas showed some signs of life with the, you know, pushing TCU. Probably should have beat TCU at home a few weeks back, and then they did what was probably expected. They went down to Baylor and fell behind by seven touchdowns and got throttled, and they're kind of they're 10, Iowa State's 9 at this point. I think Iowa State's in the conversation to finish somewhere in that more of a like a 7 range. I think Kansas State coming in is intriguing. Had Kansas State last season, had them beat there in Manhattan and just absolutely gave up the game. If you want to talk about meltdown, I'm not sure I've seen a bigger and more rapid one certainly in Iowa State history that I can think of, recent history for sure, let alone throughout the country. So I think there are a number of wins out there for them to get. But they've got to figure out. Somebody's got to make that play where as things start sliding the wrong way, after A, you have a lead, or B, you're fighting to stay in it, you got to do something to make sure it keeps going in the right direction instead of the wrong direction. But I look at Kansas State. I look at Kansas. I don't think Oklahoma's going to happen. Yes, you get the Thursday night deal and all that, but, man, the Sooners are playing well again, finally. But who knows? I don't think they're as out of the equation. I know West Virginia's undefeated, but, you know, that's a home game. That's a defensive-minded team, a similar mentality to how Iowa State wants to run their things. That could be a dogfight. So I think there could be a handful of wins still to kind of point that hook meter upward and regird people for thoughts of contending for a bowl game next season, perhaps.
Well, I agree with you, and it's a very intriguing end of the season schedule. A lot of winnable games, two of them in particular. Obviously, the big one is the national television game on a Thursday night against Oklahoma. We all know what happened the last time Big 12 blue blood came in and a midweek game. Oklahoma State got knocked out of the national championship hunt back then. But there are going to be a lot of eyes on the Iowa State football team that night, and I think for that reason, that's what makes that game the most important at the stretch anyway to close the season.
Well, yeah, I mean, be competitive. I mean, that's something that they haven't done very often in several years, or actually program history against Oklahoma. If you can put a good face on the program, you know, they talked about, you know, the Rhodes staff talked about how much recruiting juice, or just how much it's kind of helped the program to have that monumental upset of Oklahoma State on that Friday night, I believe. Yeah, it was a Friday night.
Yeah, it was a Friday.
Back in 2011, this could be the same type of thing. They've got another good, better than this year's recruiting class lined up. Well, you shore up those guys probably a little bit more, and you're already looking at 2018, and you open some eyes, and you get some people looking at the Iowa State, maybe alternative uniforms that night. They mix it up a tiny bit every week, it seems like. But adding some buzz, adding some hype, adding some of that, it factor that they absolutely have to have based on, where it's been, particularly in recent years.
Has the offensive line progressed, Rob? Because at the beginning of the year, that was a big question mark. Mike Warren in the backfield, you need a good offensive line, obviously, to do what he did last year. But this is a group that brand new, I think, one start among the group that started the season. So you see it getting better.
Yeah, I mean, I think it got significantly better. I think it took a big step back at Texas last week. But, I mean, it performed well against Baylor and Oklahoma State. I would argue that Oklahoma State's front is better, at least in terms of what it's produced, than Texas. But Texas did a lot of things. Scheme, I mean, the team piles up on that end, too. And they don't have – that's the – segment of the team that has the least amount of depth and to go with which the least amount of experience. So I think it's remarkable what they were able to build up to, which is still nowhere near where you need to be to compete for wins. But they got a couple former walk-ons who are, generally performing well there week to week. You've got a JUCO guy who was out all of last season. He's going to get another year or two. You'll get Jake Campos back. So again, this is one of those, if you can make progress with a group that's that thin and has so unproven, given what you get back next year and some additions. Sean Foster is redshirting. He's a very ballyhooed recruit. Good feeling for the future. I'm really surprised at how much progress they've made, even though it was, it doesn't mean they're exactly performing at the type of level you need to win football games.
A lot of skill people coming back for Iowa State next year on the offensive side of the ball. Before we leave football here, is a two-quarterback system working? Are people liking that? Are they looking to maybe have one guy step up, whoever that might be? What's the vibe in Ames?
I think it's the nature of two-quarterback systems that, and unless you're winning, you start to split a little bit into two camps among the fan base. And, a few games back when Park seemed to have the hot hand, it was, don't bring Lanning back in, let it be Park's team this game. And, Lanning wasn't having a poor game at all. My gut right now says that Lanning is the more complete quarterback at this point. They need him in the run game. He's had some of those bruising runs that he's known for, but Park is also doing some good things. So I think they stick with it. I mean, you've got them both back next year. You'll have Park an additional year after that. They seem to be okay with it, those two guys, and those are the most important opinions, obviously, when it comes to Coach Campbell and his offensive coordinator, Tom Manning. But, fans are kind of split. Last couple games, landing. You know, you keep landing in there no matter what, or scratching their head over three straight series for Park to close the first half against Texas. You're going to have that, but I think they're going to stick with it with these two guys. And it's been reasonably successful. The offense has produced better numbers, save last week, but the 3 weeks before, scoring 40-plus twice and 31, I mean, that's a three-game stretch that hasn't been seen in Ames for a while.
Steve Prohm has met the media. Practice is underway for the Iowa State basketball team. Certainly going to be a different look without the likes of George Niang and others. Monte Morris is a big returnee, obviously. Talk about the basketball team who may start, some of the newcomers to watch out for.
Well, I mean, you look at that backcourt. You've got seniors that have been in the program for 4 or 5 years. Monte Morris is going to end up being pretty easily, unless, barring a disaster like an injury or something, the school's all-time assist leader, steals leader in all likelihood as well. And he's a guy that from day one could be depended on, obviously, to be, the best at assist-to-turnover ratio. He did that a couple of years, and he dropped off slightly, and he was only top five as he scored more and as he's, become more of a scorer, more of a guy that looks for his own shot at times. He's rightfully the leading candidate for Big 12 Player of the Year, as identified by coaches in the preseason. And then you got Nazma Trulong, who, both he and Matt Thomas could end up knocking on the door of that number two spot all time for three-pointers made in program history. Thomas shot a really good percentage last year, 43%. And Nazma, has made multiple big shots, Oklahoma State games, many different games that he's extended games and helped win games. But one of the things that strikes me the most, and I'm sticking with the backcourt for now, but how much they're talking about defense. Now, they've talked about it a couple of years, but they're really working on it. Monte Morris had a really interesting, insightful quote, I thought, from Media Day, whereas, in the past, they'd always try to end on an offensive play and be like, hey, that's a great play to end on. Well, now they're starting to sometimes stop and practice on a stop. And they're trying to be like, hey, that's what we want to end on. They want to hang their hats on defense. They feel they can do it. He said he's getting tired of watching old, he'll tape the TV broadcasts and watch the announcers say, hey, we know Iowa State can score, but they really struggle on the defensive end. And he says he's really tired of hearing that, and he thinks everyone else on the team is too. They want that to be a part of their identity. In other words, to be a complete basketball team. And I think they have the pieces to do it when you throw in a Donovan Jackson, junior college transfer, who's going to help Morris's minutes go down, 38 minutes a game to, they're hoping in that 30 to 32 range with actually greater production. Jackson can shoot it, as he showed in this Hilton Madness, winning this three-point contest. They do, yes, on Garden and all that, but he's on a roll and very talented player. So, as far as the backcourt goes, I think it's the best backcourt for sure in the Big 12 and certainly one of the best in the country. So, the question marks are up front, and I'll defer to you guys for what questions you have as far as those guys go.
Well, I think the one guy, yes, the backcourt's going to be terrific. But the guy, somebody's going to have to step up, and Deonte Burton's going to have to take his game up to another level. I mean, he was a guy that could come in there last year, kind of be a bull in a china shop, go in there, play 10 minutes, and get a couple fouls, do his thing.
He can shoot it too.
Yeah, he can shoot it, but he's gonna change his game this year a little bit because he's gonna be 30 minutes a game probably instead of 10 minutes a game.
Indeed, and a great point. It does start with him, and he was another focal point on Media Day. He's always a different guy, whereas last year he was kind of an on again, off again. No, you didn't know when his head was really in the game, and I mean that can happen when a guy was a sit out player. And he's entering a lineup with so many veterans and so many leaders with George Niang. And I know, Jameel McKay, while he had been a leader, talking about an on-again, off-again guy, you had a lot of guys that were entrenched in that deal. So he was trying to carve out his spot. Now they feel that they've got one with him. And Coach Prohm said rather boldly that he expects him to average a double-double. And Burton, when asked about it, kind of smiled. And, yeah, he agrees. 6'4", but weighs about 250. So he can, and he can jump out of the gym when he wants to. He can be a great defender, and he can be a great threat on the offensive line from a number of positions, but, you know, especially at the 3, 4, and 5. So he's the key guy, and that was really interesting to hear about his change and how much, you know, fully locked in he is in terms of buying in. But then you've got Solomon Young, an intriguing freshman. Simeon Carter's back. How much did he develop? What, limited minutes last year? You know, the two grad transfers, Merrill Holden, Daryl Bowie. They're two field grad transfers. I mean, they've got the bodies. They're both 6'8". They're both athletic. How well can they adjust to Big 12 play and actually be a force down there to help, you know, enhance the pressure that the guard court's going to put on opposing teams? So a lot of unproven in that front court, but also a lot of potential too, especially if Burton fulfills the role that he expects to and he is expected to fill.
You mentioned George Niang. Can you bring us up to date on what's going on with George in his pursuit of a pro career?
Well, I know he's done really well in the preseason, and I think, you know, those of us who've covered the program know it was always a lot of fun to interview from freshman season, heck, before freshman season on, during his recruitment. He's a charming, charismatic guy, but he's also a guy that is going to work as hard as anybody, and then he'll identify who's working as hard as him, and he'll find a way to outwork him. That's kind of his MO. It's how he went from, as he used to say, a chubby, you know, youngster to a guy who, you know, was one of the Big 12's best players and one of the country's best players in terms of simply scoring and being a clutch guy. So I think it's setting up well for George. I think he's got a chance to, you know, to actually make some noise, you know, as kind of like a, you know, seventh, eighth, ninth guy with the Pacers, depending on what the situation is. But, you know, you never know how that's all going to shake out. But all reports are that he's definitely opened some eyes there and is very appealing to the fan base as well.
I think he's going to make the team in Indiana. So let's hope that is the case. I know a few of your writers, the Cyclone Fanatic, wrote a little bit of when Iowa State was picked fourth by before the Big 12 coaches picked them to finish fourth in the league. A few feathers were ruffled a little bit. Thought Iowa State might be maybe a spot higher, something like that. I think everyone agrees that Kansas and West Virginia are probably 1-2 right now. But where do you see this Iowa State team? Where can they finish in the Big 12?
I'm at 3-4 with this high as 2 and as low as 5. I mean, last year's team, as talented as it was, finished down the list a little bit. You know, expecting to finally be that team. And to knock off Kansas, to derail that now, I think, 13 season long reign at the top or sharing the top of the Big 12 regular season standing. So, the talent that they have, I'd be more surprised if they finished fifth than the second. But, you know, given some of the teams that don't have a lot coming back or lost a lot, like, say, Oklahoma, who I think one of our writers, Jared Stansbury, wrote I think the Sporting News, because Oklahoma was put there versus, say, a Texas, it's third. I think it's fair to argue whether it's Iowa State or Texas at 3. And I think the Cyclones could, but, man, Huggins has West Virginia in their identity is so well established. I mean, they stamped it last year, and it was very impressive during Big 12 play. So I agree, probably a 3-4. And right now, if push comes to shove, I'd probably give them a slight edge over Texas, but, heck, they haven't played any games. So, I guess we'll see as we go forward.
Are you guys Cyclone Fanatic? Are you boxing out each other for position to go to Orlando in late November?
Well, you know, there was never a jump ball in that circumstance because, we don't usually travel that far unless it's a bowl game or the tournament, and B, our publisher, Chris Williams is actually going to call those games with his good friend Brent Bloom, a Cyclone Fanatic contributor and obviously Cyclone Radio Network contributor as well. Both of them are. So they're excited about that too. You know, it's kind of a dream come true for those guys to work some games together, and Chris will piggyback off that by providing coverage at Cyclone Fanatic too. So he'll be a busy man down there while enjoying the weather, but happy for those guys to be able to work together, and I'm sure Chris will
get us some good stuff.
Yeah, some very interesting non-conference games before you get into the round robin Big 12. But of course, going to Iowa City, Cincinnati comes to Ames in early December. The Advocare Invitational down in Orlando coming up around the Thanksgiving time anyway. And then the game with Vanderbilt right in the middle of the conference season. So very interesting. Aside from the Iowa game, though, all those games, well, Vanderbilt's on the road, but Iowa's on the road as well. But you get Cincinnati at home.
Yeah, and I think that's big. I mean, Cincinnati's always a physical, well-coached team that, I mean, if you're going to beat them, you will have earned it, and you'll probably have a few bruises and perhaps cuts to go along with it, as hard-nosed as they play under Coach Cronin. And I know there's a background that's shared a little bit with Coach Prohm there. I know how much respect he has for Coach Cronin, and I'm sure vice versa. So that game should be a really nice showcase game, ESPN game. That 8 p.m. type game at December 1st. So that should be a great matchup on the heels of, again, yeah, that interesting, I'll say, Orlando tournament that that could bring some real quality opponents as well.
Yep, going to be a good one down there. Hey, Rob, appreciate it. Thanks for the insight. Keep up the great work at Cyclone Fanatic, and we will talk to you soon.
Hey, thanks very much, guys. Take care.
All right, Rob Gray, get your stuff at CycloneFanatic.com, joining us here on the Gym Class at 3:45. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll talk a little bit about the Iowa-Wisconsin game. We'll talk some high school football as well as we
and
get
some
into
breaking
week 9.
News.
Oh, is Twitter back up?
Yes.
Ah, just in time. Twitter's back up. You did not hack it. You were proven otherwise.
I was sent some information as to what happened there, but it's too involved to go into.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it's back. There you go. All right, more on the way. But before we get to a break, we're going to give away our final Dr. Pepper prize pack. We're going to take caller number 4 at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. You're going to get some delicious Dr. Pepper, some Dr. Pepper prizes, and some KGYM prizes as well. So give us a call at 319-366-1600. Back after this.
What good is history if you never change? And what good is change if it doesn't make you better? At Valvoline, we believe in getting the most out of everything, including your high-mileage engine. That's why we developed MaxLife, specially formulated to protect against the hidden signs of aging in cars over 75,000 miles. So help maximize the life of your engine with MaxLife from Valvoline. 150 years under the hood. Visit O'Reilly Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline MaxLife and a filter for $24.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Right now is a great time to buy a pre-owned vehicle during the Honda Certified Dream Deal Sales Event. Well-qualified buyers can receive 1.9% financing on select Honda Certified Pre-Owned Vehicles, the best certified pre-owned value in America. Search for local inventory at HondaCertified.com. Honda, start something special.
Based on 2015 Vincentric Best CPO Value in America Awards Analysis applicable to 2011 to 2015 Honda model years. See dealer for financing details.
Clean motor oil keeps your engine running at peak performance. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts and pick up 5 quarts of Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Motor Oil for $17.95 after mail-in rebate. Extend the life of your vehicle with Pennzoil Platinum Full Synthetic Oil at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Sometimes kickoff comes early. At Hampton by Hilton, that's when they run the option. Take your pick of free hot breakfast in the hotel or breakfast on the run bags to go. Either way, you'll be fueled up to cheer on your team because on game day, tailgate waits for no fan. So follow your favorite college football team on the road all season long. With Hampton by Hilton's friendly, helpful people at over 2,000 locations, you've got a winning combination for a memorable season. Book your football getaway today at Hampton.com for a guaranteed discount.
40 drop.
The final season was a story of me coaching the final Norway baseball team. My name is Kent Stock. For 10 years now, I've had a lot of pain in my left knee, and I really hate to be on ibuprofen every day and every day, and I have no desire to have knee surgery. So when I heard about 40 drop, to me it was like, it's worth a try. I had never heard of cryotherapy. The first time I did the cryo, I had 10 days of pain relief. In the last 10 years, I've never had 10 days of no pain in my knee. I'm not a believer in a lot of things that are different, but I've gotten a lot of relief from the cryo. If that helps me avoid the osteotomy, that will just be like a miracle for me.
40 Drop is the only cryotherapy in Eastern Iowa. Relieve pain with this super fast treatment. Try it. First whole body session is only $30. Everything you want to know is at 40drop.com. 40drop.com.
The Scoreboard Show, Friday nights here on the gym, is brought to you by J.D. Byrider in Cedar Rapids. Get a vehicle you can afford and depend on at J.D. Byrider and ask for the Booster Club bonus.
Back with you at 349, and congratulations going out to Elizabeth on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. She is the winner of our final Dr. Pepper prize pack of the week, and enjoy it. And we've had fun giving them that away throughout the week. Twitter's back. I'm sorry I took away your thunder.
No worries at all.
And we didn't know there was an Iowa State recruit today.
Cyclone followers are really happy today with the new recruit, a four-star point guard, Lindell Wigginton. He announced this morning that he is committed to Iowa State. Wigginton is a 6'1", again, guard out of Oak Hill Academy.
That's basketball
a
factory.
Decent program. for what it's worth, he is the number 53 player in the class of 2017, that by 24/7 Sports, the number 12 point guard and the number 3 player in Virginia. I always wonder how they rank players from all across the country. I know they see him at different tournaments and whatnot, but how could you possibly...
Without defense.
Without defense. Nevertheless, seems like a very, very good get. For the Cyclones.
Yeah, good get indeed. And I apologize. But again, we didn't have our chief source today of information. So without that, we're back in the dark ages. How did we do things back before it was broadcast all over the place on the social networking and things like that?
Twitter's pretty handy, but you've got to be careful.
Oh, yeah.
In that regard. And just like Facebook and every other, I know you hate the term social media outlet.
Social networking outlet.
Yeah, to make sure it's a pretty credible source.
Well, in our day, when we first came into this industry and business, Mark, the sleuth reporter would keep his ear to the ground. He'd have a few people that he would contact. Hey, anything new? And, you know, there was... Back in the day, there was a pretty good rivalry between papers, stations, whatever the case may be, if you got a good story. But again, you had to check it out. Nowadays, it's a whole lot different than it was back then.
I think there's levels of competition right now, but not like what it used to be. I mean, when I was at the Gazette, you would and that's neither right nor wrong, you would never mention the Des Moines Register or Iowa City Press Citizen. Sometimes not even the local TV stations, because we thought we were competing against them, and I guess we were for a certain part of turf.
Sure.
And, or radio stations for that matter, you were a tough nut to crack back in the day at KCRG. Now I'm on the home team. How about that?
There you go.
But now there's a lot of sharing of information, and from a lot of respects, it makes sense, but to your point, it really isn't what it used to be. And I think if good reporters from 30 years ago and good reporters today have the same thing in common, the guys and gals that write solid stories are well-sourced and can put words together. So from that standpoint, I don't think anything's changed.
Yeah. What's changed is we got week 9 of the high school football season coming up tonight.
Feels like it.
Yeah, it does. But not a bad day. I'll tell you what, for week 9, I will take mid-50s and sunshine out there. It'll be a little chilly tonight, but we got a great one at Kingston Stadium and a great one at the Little Rose Bowl. Prairie and Kennedy tonight, Class 4A District 8. I'll be out at Kingston along with John Hegarty and Dennis Canock, and should be a very, very interesting game. Prairie is in, and Prairie can get a home game if they win the game tonight. If they lose the game tonight by less, I believe, than 11 points, they will also get a home game and be the district champion. Pretty cut and dry for Kennedy, and you'll see them and a few other teams around the state of Iowa. And we haven't seen this before, really. With the 17-point tie-breaking rule now,
if Kennedy is up by three or four, that's not going to do them any good. They're going to need to score a touchdown again in the last couple of minutes.
Maybe go for two when they don't really need to go for two.
Find ways to get points on the board tonight. Kennedy must win by 12 points tonight to get into the playoffs. And pretty cut and dry. If Kennedy doesn't, Iowa City West will be the runner-up in District number 8 of 4A.
Interesting scenarios out there tonight, and we'll have a scoreboard show tonight following all the games right here on KGYM. And when do you expect the playoff pairings to be announced?
Well, the pairings will be announced tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock on their brand-new statewide streaming television show.
I'll be darned.
At 10 o'clock, which I'm almost certain is going to crash and burn because everybody's going to try to get on the internet at about 10 o'clock tomorrow.
I noticed the guys at the Gazette debated that this week in the paper. Should it be on, say, Iowa Public Television? And all these schools have these viewing parties, you know, breakfast at the school.
I think it'd be fun.
Then you watch Iowa Public Television or some other outlet. Maybe they do it now with the streaming. I don't know.
Well, that's what they're going to try this year with the streaming.
Yeah.
I'm not going to comment on it because I'd like to have a seat at said state tournaments. And I have a feeling if I did comment on it, I might not have a seat at said state tournaments. But it's a different method. I think it's good because anytime you can, you know, you can run it up the flagpole and do some bells and whistles with it, that's great for everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I just hope it doesn't crash tomorrow when thousands of people are trying to get on one internet website.
Should be a fun night. And again, playoffs don't start till next Friday.
That's right. We go Friday. Well, Friday, and then into the dome for the semis and the finals after that. Now, we will have the teams tonight. Jeff will have those prior to midnight. We'll have the KGYM scoreboard show tonight after the games up through midnight. And they promise us by then they will have the fields in each class. 16 teams now instead of 32 in each class. And they will have those tonight, again, at 4A, cut and dry, district champ, district runner-up, 8-player, district champ, district runner-up, 7 districts in 3A, 2A, 1A, and A. They will have the district champ, the runner-up, and 2 wild cards from anywhere around the state. And there are many, many different rules for the tiebreakers on the wild card. One is, the first one, I believe, is if you are in a 3-way tie, and you are nudged out, you are in the top of the wild card list, which will come into play perhaps
for Lisbon,
East Buchanan, and Wapsie Valley and North Lynn tonight. So we'll see how that plays out. That's the most crowded district around here besides the Waterloo West Wash. Wash has got to win tonight over Waterloo West. If they win by more than 6, Wash gets a championship. We could have next Friday night. Mm. There are so many scenarios. You could have nothing at Kingston next Friday night, or you could have a doubleheader next Friday night at Kingston Stadium with Wash and Kennedy. How about that?
It's going to be a lot of fun. Stay tuned to KGYM. Tune in to Scott's broadcast tonight or Alex Kuhn's broadcast of Clayton Ridge and West Branch. Should be a terrific night, interesting night of football, and then certainly tomorrow as Iowa takes on Wisconsin.
Yep. Winners of the Clayton Ridge-West Branch game also gets an automatic playoff spot as the runner-up behind Bellevue in that district. And Alex will have the call tonight. You're sticking with Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin edges Iowa just by a bit tomorrow, by about 4 or 5.
Stay tuned for the Afternoon Players Club, 4 to 7. The guys are at Coach's Corner Sports Pub in Iowa City. Among the guests, Mount Mercy University baseball coach Jack Dom and Evan Flood of 24/7 Sports Wisconsin.
And Jared DiNardo is going to be on as well. They're having their Big Ten to-do tomorrow.
Excellent.
At the Krause Family Plaza, so that should be very interesting. All right, have a great, great sports weekend, and we will be back with you to talk about it on Monday. Mike Colas will join us as well. So have a good weekend. I'll talk to you tonight out at Kingston Stadium for Prairie and Kennedy.
When it comes to commercial vehicles, it's time to drill down.